Now, Father, we pray and we ask that you grant unto us insight and wisdom in your word. Thank you for clarity of thought. Thank you for every hair and heart is enabled today to comprehend fully all that is being said concerning Jesus Christ. We ask and receive revelation and application, and we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
First Peter 2:2, we're looking at growing up spiritually. What does it mean to grow up spiritually? And we laid some foundation last week, and we'll just take it from here today. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So we looked at the background, and like I've always said, when you have a verse of scripture in a letter, understand that the letter is a whole document, and the writer never anticipated or expected that you should read his letter in verses. So when it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, our first port of call will be verse 23, chapter 1. When it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Pay attention that the word seed was not repeated. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word. So, let's look at the word being born again. Now, if you observe, okay, you can look at the previous verse, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, past tense, okay? So if it says being born again, that tense has to be past, because it's referring to something that has happened. So we can retranslate as says having been born again. That's a better way to put it. Having been born again of incorruptible seed. Remember last week we checked the word seed, and then the word seed here, remember that? Can you remember? 1 John 9 and this one. We said this one is spora, which is to what? The sowing itself. So being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, pay attention. So having been born again. Now, we have a right to look at this word and translate it properly. The first place you will see the word here, which is the word anagenao, A-N-A-G-E-N-N-A-O, is in the same letter. And First Peter 1:3, go back there, we were there last week. First Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. The same word. Hath begotten us again. So, some better Greek translations will put it like this. Having been fathered again. So the emphasis is being fathered. That's why verse 3 of chapter 1 will say, the Father having begotten us again. So, and that's why you have to be careful of the word of God there. Because we're going to look at it. We're going to look at what it means by the word. So, having been fathered again, so, from verse 3, we're born by who? Who fathered us? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you there? Are you following? Okay. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, by the time you read the same statement or the same word in verse 23, if I'm writing and I start a word and I say, we have been fathered by God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Then I use the word anagen now. Then I get to verse 23, just along the same letter, and I now say, being born again, where should your mind go to? Verse 3.
So, and the focus of verse 3 is the Father. Are you there? Okay. So, verse 23 is not isolated. Verse 23 will be a continuation of the same concept I opened in verse 3. Are you getting this? Alright. So, that means fatherhood is an issue there. Being born again. Okay. Being born again. Being fathered. Hallelujah. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So, pay good attention. We looked at the word seed, which is a birth, right? The process of sowing the seed. So, fatherhood is an issue. Okay? Because in verse 3, it says by saying the Father, the God and Father of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if he says that, then he comes in 23, says we are born again, or we are fathered by the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you there? Through the resurrection from the dead. Okay? So, in verse 23, he now says, being, having been, I use the word having been because I must have said something earlier. What did I say earlier? You are born again by the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ through the resurrection from the dead. Is that clear? So, I'll definitely now use having been, that is, your mind goes to 3. Are you there? Okay, so the focus is on the fatherhood of God. So, in other words, pay attention now. Peter is teaching identification. That Jesus was fathered by God in the resurrection. The same way we are fathered by God. Jesus was fathered by God in the resurrection. The same way we're fathered by God. Now, if you observe that term, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, was used by Paul as well. So where is it? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is Ephesians 1:16, who has blessed us, verse 1, verse 3 and then verse 16. And you go further, then you discover that after he leaves that statement, that is Paul, by verse 20, 21 to 23, he now brings in identification. Then chapter 2, you are raised together with him to be seated in him. Chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Then verse 18 says, by one spirit, we all have access to one Father. So, he lays the foundation of the family, as it were. He lays that foundation by talking about Jesus and the Father. So, we view our relationship with the Father in Christ. Or through Jesus Christ. That's how we view that relationship. And it's the same way Peter is teaching the new birth. Being fathered. So, if you and I were to have our translation today, we'll just simply put, being fathered again. Are you there? So the focus is on being fathered. Pay attention now. So, what he is teaching is a supernatural birth. A supernatural birth. That's what he's teaching. And it's so important because if you are going to talk about growth, you can't talk about growth without talking about the new birth. You'll be building the growth on the faulty foundation. So, he says, pay good attention, that we are born supernaturally. So, our birth
which you call the new birth, is supernatural. Okay? Now, before we go further, it follows through that if my birth is supernatural, my growth has to be. Hallelujah. If my birth is supernatural, then my growth has to be. So, follow this now. Now, why did he say, not of corruptible seed? That is, not of corruptible birth, but of incorruptible. In other words, he is making what you call a comparison. So we must find out what comparison is he making. Okay? He's making a comparison. Not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Then he says, by the word. Just leave out that word, by the word, for some time. We'll come back to it. So, he says, by the word which liveth and abide forever. So, we must look at the word corruptible and incorruptible. The word incorruptible, okay, will be vital. Now, let's track back a little bit. When it says not of corruptible seed, don't forget the word is not of corruptible. Huh? What do you call it? Huh? Sower, sowing. Sowing. Okay. So, what is the incorruptible? What is the sowing that is not corruptible? Huh? Did you say the word of God? No. The resurrection. So the resurrection is the sowing. Are you there? Because he told us in verse 3 what the sowing was. So the resurrection is the sowing. Okay? That's the sowing. Are you there? So, he calls it not of incorruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So, we need to first of all know what corruptible is. We checked it last week, but let's look at it one more time. 1 Peter 1:18 was the prior verse. He uses the word corruptible. He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, then it says, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Then the next verse, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, but of the precious blood of Christ. So, he compares our birth to, as an opposite of a natural thing. So, that's why we said that he's describing our birth as supernatural. Pay attention now. So, the word here, which he used here, is the word phthero. Phthero. It describes what can be ruined. It's taken from Pithero, pardon me. I'll spell the word for you again. Phthartos. Now, it's taken from Phthero. So, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 3:17. If a man shall defile the temple of God, him, which is actually should be it, the proper translation should be if any, one shall defile the temple of God, it shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? He wasn't talking about persons, he was talking about things. Alright? Is that clear? I've explained this a couple of times. So, it shall God destroy. The word destroy is where you get the word phthero. So you have defile, Then you have destroy. They are the same words. Then in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communication corrupts good manners. So it's used for conduct. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Then 2 Corinthians 7:2. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Watch this one. This is vital. Lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. Corrupted. Okay. Ephesians 4:22. You put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So something that can be ruined, which is corrupt, that ruins or can be ruined, okay, can be stopped or can stop another. So, 1 Peter again. We checked this before. Corruptible things are silver and gold. So verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. So what is he describing? He's describing the resurrection. That what is perfect, it's eternal. It cannot be corrupted. So he calls the resurrection of Jesus Christ the sowing. That is, we are a product of that resurrection. Are you following that? Are you following that? Okay. We are a product of that resurrection. So, the seed is not the word per se. The seed is what? The resurrection. So it's from the resurrection that we have the new creature. Now you follow this shortly. So I say, by the word of God. We'll examine that shortly. So it says by the word. Move down a bit. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth and the flower withered, thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord, what? And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. Backtrack to the word gospel preached unto you. Verse 12. Unto whom it wasn't revealed, but unto that not unto themselves, but unto us did it minister the things which are now reported unto you. By them which have preached what? The gospel unto you. So, what do you mean by the gospel unto you? Verse 11. Searching what all manner of time the Spirit of Christ in them to signify when testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ. And what else? The glory that shall follow. So, he calls the gospel, pay attention, prophecy. That indicated in the Old Testament what Jesus was going to do. Don't forget that. So when it says by the gospel, it's taking your mind back to prophecy. That is, your birth by the resurrection of Jesus had been prophesied as the good news. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. So that's what he's referring to. But then, We'll take a step further. So when it says by the word of God, that changes our focus, because in verse 3 he told you, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. He doesn't tell us about the word in verse 3. He says the Father. Are you following this? Are you following this? He says the Father. So, how come he says by the word of God? Now, we've already said that the word of God he's referring to in verse 23 is what?
No, can't be resurrection. That can't be the gospel which refers to the resurrection. Now, when he says the word of God, he uses spoken word there. He meant the word spoken by who? Prophets. Come on. Are you following this? Okay, so listen to this now. So he says the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Pay attention to this. It's important. By the word of God, which live and abide forever. You have a choice, and I want to throw the choice at you. Which, you know, we say which can be what or who. So, what should we pitch our tent with? The word spoken or God, the Father? Who lives and abides forever? The word spoken or God, the Father? You don't know how I got to that point. Okay, let me slow down a bit. When I say by the word of God, what if I say who lives? Your mind will be on who? Huh? But by saying which, your mind goes to. Okay, so what if I tell you that the same Greek word for which is the same Greek word for who? So try and translate your own Bible. I didn't say that. Don't quote me. So, who or which? Look at it again. Who or which? Because the word liveth and abideth, the word abideth is the word meno, which means to remain. It means to remain. The word forever is actually not in the Greek. So, it's just implied. Because when you say meno, meno, which liveth, meno. So that's why King James put forever in there. Are you there? Come on. Is that clear? Which remains alive. So it's just nice for good interpretation or good translation to just put the word forever. So let's assume that it's forever. It's fine. So where would you pitch your tent? Who or which? Have I not given you a good background information? Who or which? Don't be quick. Who or which? Huh? Context. Context. So the next verse. What's the next verse? Huh? Verse 24. All flesh is, Okay, so the comparison is between who and who? Okay, cool down. The comparison is between who and who? Or what and what? Did I say who and who? Now I say who and who, or who and what and who? Huh? God in man. For example, look at the word by the word. It's the word dia, D-I-A. It means through. And that's very important, the word through. But then, leave that out. It says for all flesh. The word all flesh, the word for, is the Greek word dioti, D-I-O-T-I. 23 times it's used. It means therefore or because of this. So, there's a mild comparison in there, and we must observe it. There is a comparison. So, it's a comparison between the word of the Lord and man. Am I making sense?
Because he said, all flesh is as
grass.
Uh-huh. And what? All the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withered, and the flower therefore falleth away. So, who does corruptible describe? Huh? Man and his glory, and flesh. So, who would incorruptible describe? You sure? Who does incorruptible describe? Somebody said God and said man at the same time. God, man. So, who does incorruptible describe? Father? Okay, the Son and the Holy Ghost. Who does incorruptible, okay, wait, let's start. Who does corruptible describe? That's very clear. You sure about that? Well, let me take you on a journey. Are you sure about that? Okay, now that verse, all flesh is as grass, is taken from the Old Testament. Two places, actually. Psalm 105, verse 103, verse 15. As man, are you there? Psalm 103 verse 15, go there. For as man his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. The previous verse. For he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Are you there? So, watch this one. His days as grass describes man. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 8. I'll start from verse 7. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it, all the people's grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So, the grass is used for who again? Man. Okay, or the life of man. Alright? You also find this in Job 8 verse 12. It's from the Hebrew word chatsir. C-H-A-T-S-I-R. It means what quickly perishes. What will quickly go or fade away. So, he says, man's days quickly go. Man's days quickly go. That is, when man gives birth to man, man will quickly go. Okay? So he says, just like the flower of the grass. So he's describing the days of a man on earth. And he says he's no more. So, in James 1, 10. James 1, 10. Same term. But the rich, in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withered the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace of the passion of his presence, so also the rich man fades away in his ways. So he uses the word grass. Go back to 1 Peter 1:23. He uses the word grass to describe what? Come on, talk to him. To describe what? The life of a man. Okay? So. If the corruptible therefore, refers to what? Sin? The law. It's the law of Moses. What does it describe? The life of a man. Or flesh. So, incorruptible, that's where we are. Incorruptible will be who? Remember I said, notice the word seed is not repeated. So, being born again, not of corruptible sowing, or let's say, corruptible process of birthing. Does that make sense? But of incorruptible, why didn't you repeat seed? So the incorruptible could either be for the process or the person behind the process. So I'm asking, is it the process or the person behind the process? This is very important in understanding spiritual growth. So we're not going to rush till we get it. So is the incorruptible? No, sorry. I'm lost. Sir. The corruptible is what? I think we all agree on that one. That one is so clear. The corruptible is what? The life of man. So the incorruptible is what? The incorruptible is who or what? Okay, wait. The corruptible describes the life of a man or his days. Right? So, the incorruptible describe also what? You are saying so many things. Who and what? I'll talk like Elijah. Why are you between two opinions? Who and what? Could it be the word of the Lord about God? Huh? Are you there? So, who is incorruptible? Or what is incorruptible? Huh? And by the way, the word of God there cannot be the sower. Can it be? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord there refers to what? What men said. Are we born by that? No. But it is in what they said. Does it make sense? Do you get it? In what they said. So when they were prophesying of the glory that should follow, the glory that should follow is the resurrection. And that's the gospel. And we were born from where? The resurrection. So that is why he called it by the word, or called it the gospel which was preached unto you. Amen. So when you say, I'm born of the word, I'm born of the word, it's alright. You're just saying that from prophecy, it was confirmed that I'm born of God. You're not born of the word. Praise God. That words. No, you are born of God. Hallelujah. Have I answered it? I think I did. So the new birth is in the gospel, but we are born of God. Hallelujah. What he's saying is that the new birth was prophesied. Is that okay? Is that okay? The new birth was prophesied. So, let me quickly say this. So the resurrection focuses on what? What is the gospel? Is the gospel Christ died or he rose from the dead? Excellent. So if we're born by the gospel, and it told us in verse 3, from the resurrection, so it uses the gospel in 23 to tell us how the resurrection was prophesied. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Because we're actually born in Christ. It's in his resurrection. Hallelujah. So, can we say that 24 is comparing man to God? Huh? Hey, talk to me. Can we say 24 is comparing man with God? All flesh is as grass. Is that clear? Can we say that? Right? So in the new birth, we can only be compared to who? God. Why? Because we are fathered by him. This is the foundation for spiritual growth. We are fathered by him. That already shows you that spiritual growth does not have the same template as natural growth. You can see why I told you last week that using the term babes had to be a figure of speech. Because the term babes cannot be found in the incorruptible. It's not subject to growth. Whatever is come out of the resurrection is perfect. So why growth? Let me see if you're following this. Come on. Are you following this? Okay. So, in comparing man with God in 24, he therefore compared man's birthing with God's birthing. He says God's birthing is in the resurrection. The very first time that God gave birth to anybody is in the resurrection. What we found in Christ in the fourth gospel is the incarnation. The new birth is in the resurrection. So, like I've always said, you know, people say, well, what is eternal life? Eternal life means to, and then we describe it, and then we say, the unbeliever will also live forever, but he will just live forever elsewhere. The believer will live forever elsewhere. No. Living forever is exclusive to those who are born of God. Exclusive. Exclusive to the man in Christ. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? So, God and man were compared. And he's saying, we are fathered by God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm fathered by God. Uh-huh. Why? Through the resurrection. Which is also through the gospel. Which is also through the word of the Lord. Is that clear? So, fathered by God. So, he said, by the gospel, verse 25, which is preached unto you, that is, it's in the gospel, is preached unto you. So, you can observe that the time, now, in fact, sorry, let me add this. In the original language, it's which is being preached unto you. You know, when they use the word gospel, in the epistles, you observe they're not talking about getting saved. That the term gospel refers to everything that Jesus did and is doing now. So, as we keep teaching the gospel, I keep preaching the gospel highlights to us the new birth. The gospel always presents to us the new birth. Pay attention here. Now the word born again was used by Jesus in John 3:3, but it's not the same word actually. The term was used in John 3, but it's not the same word. In John 3:3, he said, except a man be born again. It's not the same word. It appears like it's the same. Because in John 3, let's look at it together. John 3:3. John 3:3 is the word genao anothen. In, pay good attention now. In John 3:3, he separates the words. In 1 Peter 1:23, it's just one word. Okay? You see why. Genao, then it says, anothen. A-N-O-T-H-E-N. Anothen. Anothen means to say like above. Above. John 3:7, John 3:31, above all, John 19:11, and John 19:23. Are you there? Okay, look at this. Jesus in John 3 tells us how. He says, born of the Spirit. That's verse 5, verse 6, and verse 8. Born of the spirit. Okay? But first, Peter 1:1-3, it says, born of the Father. Is that okay? No, not a significant difference, just to note that. Born of the Spirit. Jesus is born again, born from above. Okay? In John 1:13, I think we checked that on Sunday. Which were born not of the will of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, nor of flesh, but born of God. Talking about Jesus. So, Jesus used the word for being born of the Spirit. Pay attention. Being born of the Spirit. So Jesus' focus was the Spirit. And he used the anathem from above. Very unclear. Not like Peter. Paul uses the word genao just once. Galatians 4:29. That which is born of after the Spirit, talking about Isaac and Ishmael. Galatians 4:29. That which was born after the flesh persecutes him after the Spirit. Okay? Then he's talking about faith and the works. And works. 1 John 2:29. John again, a prominent user of the term born. 1 John 2:29. Look at this. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doth righteousness is born of him. 1 John 3:9. Whatsoever is born of God, because he is born of God. 1 John 4:7. Let us not love, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. 1 John 4:7. 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5:4. Who is he that, though, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:18. We know that whatsoever is born of God, sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. So, what's been consistent? He observed that John no longer uses the Spirit. He uses born of God. Have you observed that? Okay. So, born of God. He's begotten of, he said, now are we the sons of God. So, one more. James, of his own will, begat he us. James uses something else. He uses the word, pay attention, apokoheo. A-P-O, that's James 1:18. A-P-O-K-U-E-O. Now listen to this one. Apokoheo is from K-U-E-O, means to be pregnant. It's used for those who are pregnant. In other words, it's used for conception. So James 1:18 rather talks about God's plan in Christ, God's intention in Christ. Of his own will begat he us. Because it makes a distinction between if any man sin, let no man say when he turned the temple of God, for God cannot turn up even if they turn any man. So he's letting you see that God cannot author temptation, neither can he make a sinner. So it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That is, in God's conception, he can conceive a sinner. So that explains Adam. It's the same thing in Romans 5. It explains Adam. So that's God's conception. So go back to 1 Peter 1:23. Peter now says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So Peter is introducing the fathering of God. The fathering of God. God becomes our father. Okay? the fathering of God, via the resurrection. So my claim to being fathered by God is the resurrection. And next week we'll look at how that relates with Jesus. Because the writer of Hebrews says, then I will be to him again a father, and he will be to me a son. We'll see how that relates. Hebrews 1. But that's not for today. So, the new birth is identified in Christ. It's not separate from how he is the father of Jesus. We can't claim fatherhood by the incarnation, but we can claim fatherhood by the resurrection. Fatherhood is not available to you in the incarnation, but it's available to you in the resurrection. That's the thought that is passed across by Peter. So, look at verse chapter 2 now. As new born babes. Verse 2. As new born babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. What's the growth for? As new born babes. So, will the new be time or kind? Huh? Come on, talk to me. Huh? Kind. Kind, why? Because we are making a comparison between man's life and God's life. So the new will be what? A kind or time? Kind. So when I say I'm a new creation in Christ, it's not a new convert. The new is relative to man's life. So, when it says, as newborn babes in Christ, pay attention, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Let's examine that word, newborn babe. It's the word antigenitos. 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 It's derived from chapter 1 verse 3 and chapter 1 verse 23. So it flows. I started talking about the new birth in verse 3. I explored it further in verse 23. So by now I go to chapter 2 verse 2 and I say, as newborn babes, and I'm using the word genitos. My attention still goes back to the resurrection in verse 3. So it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may go there. But before we go there, look at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakers. Who can remember how we explained the word laying aside last week? Huh? What was it? Huh? Like to avoid. Can I remember that? To avoid. It's not something that can be found in you, but something you are going to what? Avoid. You're going to put it away. That is, avoid. So they are foreign. That helps us to know what growth is. Look at the surrounding text. Before we look at 2. Look at 3. 3 says, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That is, you will grow, having tasted that the Lord is gracious, which is the word gomai, which means to experience. In other words, when it says, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. At what point did we experience His graciousness? At the new birth. So the new birth is the goodness of God. The new birth explains the character of God. if so be that you have tasted that God or the Lord is gracious. That the Lord is gracious. Where did we taste it? At the new birth. So, we have experienced His graciousness in the birth. And now, look at chapter 1 again, verse 3. It says, according to His abundant mercy. Abundant mercy. Look at verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. It makes a comparison again. Watch. You also, as lively stones. Now, in verse 4, who does he call a living stone? Huh? Come on, who? Who does he call a living stone? Jesus. In verse 5, who does he call a living stone? He's got the word lively, the same word. Who does he call a living stone? You. Why would he call you a living stone? Huh? Why? Come on, why? Don't whisper, why? You have the same birth, you've been fathered by God. So, he also calls you a living stone. Praise God. A living stone. Follow this. So, built up, or are being built up, a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus. The word built up means a structure. To put together something, a structure. A spiritual house. The word house is oikia. Oikia is used for a household or family. So, we became family with the Father through who? Jesus. And we also became family with Jesus through the Father. So, whatever is built, the Father, Jesus, and us will be a spiritual family. Is that clear? So we have built up a spiritual family, a household. Because our birth is supernatural. So this family is spiritual. A spiritual family. By the Spirit. Because He had told you, chapter 1, verse 12, through the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. By the gospel. So, what happened to us? So, He has moved from us as individuals. He now begins to talk about us collectively. That you see, He has told us the Father, then Jesus, resurrection, and the fact that we're born. Then He says to us that we're born not like man, but after God. Then He says now we're growing. Then He says, this is who we are together. We are a family. We are a family. A spiritual house to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, verse 6, it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Unto them that are disobedient, the stone with the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of a corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Look at 9. But you are. Are you there? Now, how many times is he identifying us? In verse 5, you are living stones. In verse 9, you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Actually, the word royal priesthood comes first. The word royal priesthood, the word royal, is from the word basileos. Don't forget, he had just told you in verse 5 that we are a spiritual house, a spiritual family. So he says, a royal priesthood, The word royal is basileus. I'll spell it for you. B-A-S-I-L-E-I-O-S. It's used for, pay attention, it's an adjective to describe a kingdom. Now, in this instance, it's describing a palace. Listen well. Look at Luke 7:25. Luke 7:25. What did he say we were in verse 5? A spiritual family together. Okay? Luke 7:25. Basileus. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in the king's courts. In the king's courts. So, that's the word basileus. Go to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a royal priesthood. That is, it talks about us collectively. We are a royal priesthood that is like a palace. What we are together is like a palace. You are a royal priesthood. Then it says, a holy nation. Nation is the word ethnos, used for a race. Why would he say this? Because he had compared man with man. I said, this man is born by God. So he calls him a holy nation. Holy means separate and different. That it is a different race of people. A different race of people. Then it says, a peculiar people. The word peculiar is very instructive. It's the word peripoiesis. I'll spell it. P-E-R-I-P-O-I-E-S-I-S. P-E-R-I-P-O-I-E-S-I-S. It means ownership. Let's see where it's used. Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain, the word obtain, to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. For a minute. Sorry. Ephesians 1:14. I made an error there. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. So the word possession is the word chosen. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Okay, I've read that. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the owning to possess. That Hebrews 10:39. So in other words, he's saying, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God owns us. We become his responsibility. When he says, you are a peculiar people, you are his own. You are his own. That's what we are. We are his own. Now, did you notice that he's talking about growth in chapter 2 verse 2, but he surrounds the growth with a whole lot of emphasis on who you are. So, you must not think that the growth leads to acceptance. The growth does not turn to a nature. It comes from it. Unless you see that this growth is not a conduct, though it is a conduct. We're going to see that. So, it's around, just like Paul. Paul will talk about growth, but Paul will surround all he will say about growth with very strong words of identification. You are his own. So, he lays a foundation on why we must grow. So by the time you see what he's saying, spiritual growth or growing spiritually will be clear to you. He identifies the kind of person you are to you. Say, look, this is who you are. And did you observe that that's exactly what James also taught? James is teaching about growth. And he says, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Then he says, be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word, he's likened unto a man who beholds his natural face in the mirror. Pay attention now. Straight away, goeth his way and forgets the manner of man. He's teaching growth. Forgets the manner of man he was. In other words, in James's language, growth means that you don't change. What changes is how you see yourself. So, what's growth to James? James is saying, when I go out in the world and I'm behaving amongst men, who I was in the mirror reflects. Who I was in the mirror can never change. That's what James is saying. Who am I by the new birth? I am indestructible. I am incorruptible. So, in the resurrection, I don't develop. I remain me. In the resurrection, I remain me. So, I must know what growth is. Growth is not adding to me. No. No. Verse 9 says I'm already is. We're a different race. We do not act to be a different race. We are a different race. We are, praise God. So he calls you a living stone. Already. So, growth cannot be, you know, I've seen people try to do illustrations and say, you know, just like a baby. I agree, you know, we need to borrow some of these terminologies, but it's not perfect. A baby will grow hands and all that. That's not growth spiritually. That's not growth. Look at this letter. This letter was not written to new converts. It was written to everybody. In other words, Peter is not saying there's coming a point that you will not grow. Well, I used to grow. When I grew, I have grown. What are you doing? You are seeing yourself as a corruptible seed. When I grew, you are thinking in natural terms. That's not what he's saying. When I grew, or when I grown, or both. So, he surrounds a teaching on growth strongly with identification. Why do they do this? Because spiritual growth is a product of who you are. It is so, listen, growth outside identification is works. Anything you do in ignorance, in a conduct, is works. Anything. Even though if your action is okay. So, watch this now. We are ears. Praise God. We are ears already. We are ears. We are ears by the resurrection. We are ears. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. We are. Hallelujah. We are. So that means spiritual growth starts from the end. We are. We are. Hallelujah. Livingstones, we are. We are. We're born of God. We're born of the Spirit. We are. Glory to God. We are. We are fathered by God. Hallelujah. We are. And it lets you know that it can't be corrupted. It's forever. So if it's forever, it's not subject to growth. That doesn't grow. Hallelujah. That doesn't increase. So what then is growth? Look at this. Go back to chapter 2 again, verse 2. Learning something? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. I'll tackle that next week, though I know we've explained that word milk of the word. Because you assume he's talking to new converts. But he's not talking to new converts. He's describing how we act on the word. Is that okay? But we'll look at that next week. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, hallelujah, that you may grow thereby. I love the word that. The word that there is the word hopos. It speaks of a pattern. H-O-P-O-S. It speaks of a pattern. That is, there is a pattern. It says grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. Now, the word sincere, milk, refers to a thinking, a mental appraisal, but we'll look at that next week. Now, what is the mental appraisal he gave you? Huh? He already gave you in chapter 1. So he says, grow in this pattern. Are you following that? So, your mind, as he's talking to you, he gives you a whole lot of you are, you are, you are, you are, you are. Then he says, grow in this pattern. Grow thereby. Now that's what Paul also wrote, Ephesians 2:10. You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained beforehand that you should what? Walk in them. So that walk is spiritual growth. But that walk is from you are. Hallelujah. You are. So follow that pattern. Ephesians 5:25. So Galatians 5:25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, Let us walk in the Spirit. Because if you say, I want to walk in the Spirit, the first thing is realize you're already in the Spirit. You're already a chosen generation. You're already a royal priesthood. So he says that you may grow thereby, that you will follow the pattern. Not show that you can be is. No. We already is. Verse 9. Who had called us, hallelujah, out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now what is his marvelous light? Come on, what is marvelous light? You are a chosen generation. That is his marvelous light. So he has called us into this. He has called us into who we are today. So, he says, to show forth, the next verse is beautiful. He says, to show forth, the verse 4, to show forth the praises. The word praises is the word arete in the Greek. It means perfection. Virtues. What is perfect? Let me ask you. To show forth to who? It can't be to God. It can't be to God. Because you are. So spiritual growth is amongst men. That is why it doesn't stop. Let me see how you're following this. Come on. It doesn't stop. It's amongst men. It's not to God. It's amongst men. To show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what is the perfection? Who we are. Hallelujah. That means he has made us perfect. There's nothing. It's the word virtues. You see in 2 Peter 1, 3, which we'll check it later. He has made us perfect. The new birth is perfect. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things you can say, so how are you today? Say, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. And I'm actually perfect. How know you're perfect? I am perfect. Because I was born again, not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible. God himself. I am perfect. Our DNA is perfect. Perfection is in our DNA. So, he's saying, we show forth the praises or the perfection. So, spiritual growth is to show who I am. Not to God. He's the one who made you that. Praise God. Spiritual growth, just like walking in the Spirit, is amongst men. Spiritual growth is amongst men. That is why, even if you are 60 years in the Lord, you still should be what? Grow. Hallelujah. Let me see how you understand that. You should still be growing. Come on. Are you there? Does it make sense to you? That's why he focused a whole lot on who you are. So who you are becomes your conduct amongst men. That is spiritual growth. That's why he says as. In other words, you will grow with that attitude. James says, receive the word with meekness. There's an attitude of growth. So growth is in my conduct, not in my nature. My nature does not grow. But my conduct does. Let me see how you understand that. Is that very clear? Growth is not in my nature. Growth is in my conduct. So the growth is not in my nature. I'm perfect. The growth is in my conduct to show it. Hallelujah. To show the perfect nature. Hallelujah. Because we are born of the incorruptible. What can wither away? Hallelujah. Are you still there? You are going to remain the way you were born again forever. But then, your conduct amongst men must show forth that perfection. Glory to God. So I was born perfect. Say it like me. Say, I was born perfect. You're born perfect. It says you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. That means everything that is in the that should be in the conduct, they are already in you. You will now take it and put it in your conduct. You are born perfect. Hallelujah. Born of God. Glory to God. And Jesus showed us a pattern. If God were to be born, He will be born the way you are born again. Jesus showed us that pattern. So, growth will be my conduct from my nature. Okay? So, look at 9. We're going to read 9 into 10. I'm closing. 9 into 10. Are you 9? We're going to read 9 into 10 and slowly read into 11. Let's go. Let's read it together, everybody. Let's go. You are a chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. Now, peculiar means He owns us. Hallelujah. He owns us. Go on. And you should show forth the praises. Or let's change the word. We change it. Show forth the perfection of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous. Verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now. Let's take 11 now, slowly. Dearly beloved. Hold on. Dearly what? Beloved. Read it again. Let's go. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Hallelujah. Can you see it now? That's not a once and for all thing. You will keep growing. Abstain which war against your soul. They can't come from our soul, because our soul is perfect. They can't come from us, but they war against it. Sometimes we feel they are in us, but they are not. We're born perfect. Hallelujah. Our thoughts make us feel that our thoughts are who we are. Our thoughts are not who we are. His thoughts are who we are. So in spiritual growth, spiritual growth is as long as I'm amongst men. I must keep growing. Peter used a figure of speech as newborn babes. We'll examine that application next week too, I hope, or the week after. Hallelujah. So spiritual growth is not like human beings. When I'm growing, I'm now an adult. Then I've stopped growing. No. Spiritual growth is our conduct forever in the earth. Are you there? It's our conduct in the earth. We walk in the Spirit. Why? Because we are born of the Spirit. My nature doesn't grow, but my conduct does. I'll show forth my perfection. Hallelujah. I show forth my perfection. I'm not trying to be perfect. I am perfect. But my conduct has to be. Hallelujah. My conduct amongst men has to be. But I'm born perfect. Say, I'm born perfect. I'm born perfect. That which is born of the Spirit is. Hallelujah. If you are born of the Spirit, you say you are Spirit. So the DNA is perfect. There's no defect. There's no disability. There's nothing in our nature that needs growth. Hallelujah. But it needs expression. Hallelujah. Nothing in our nature needs growth. Nothing. The kind of love we have is perfect. The kind of long suffering you have is perfect.
The kind of gentleness you have is perfect. It's not going to grow in size or in depth or in height. It's the same. Hallelujah. But the application of it amongst men begins to grow. I'm what he says I am. I'm born of God. Hallelujah. Don't say, well, that's my nature. No, 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 that's not your nature. You are not sanguine. You are not sandine. Even if you are, get out of the can. You are not choleric. You are not or cholera or whatever. No! You are perfect. We are born perfect. Hallelujah. We are born perfect. You don't have, say, I'm struggling with this habit. No. No. Your habit is perfect in Christ. What you're struggling with is what is warring against you. Are you there? It's warring against you. So spiritual growth comes from who we are. Our conduct is from our nature. Hallelujah. It says, you are strangers and pilgrims. That's who we are. You know, it's not difficult for you to understand verse 11 when you have read verse 1, chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 10. If he now says you are strangers, doesn't mean you should start tying scarf. That's not what he's saying. That is, your birth is strange. Your identity is strange. It's already, he has told you what he meant. Hallelujah. So you are strangers and pilgrims. So whether you are strangers, your trousers has to be like pencil. That's not what he said. We are strangers in our spirit. We are pilgrims in our spirit. Hallelujah. So we're going to walk like that. So our conduct will be strange. I'm born perfect. See, my nature is a nature of perfection. So let me just close that. If two folks who are married are born again, and I'll say, ah, say my husband, is this, is that, is this one, is that one. I even went to check his family. That's how his father is. That's, you will keep getting that. But you know, you can look at your wife and look at your husband and say, actually, you were born perfect. You don't have a love problem. You don't have a patience problem. But none of us have. We now have to apply ourselves to who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. That's what we do. We don't say, well, my mother told me really that the way I get angry, that I got it from my grandmother. Not of corruptible seed. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Everything you got from your father. And your father is the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're blessed. Stand to your feet, just bless God and give him praise. What an awesome God.